I'm going to present a work in process, and that's why I'm going to throw a lot of raw material at you and try to exploit your intelligence and your feedback and see how we can conceptualize this, because this is where we are, me and the actors I work with. After 1 year of work, we have 2 years of work ahead of us that are funded. And we'll see what develops. The Sign Language Theater Lab is part of a larger project. It's called GRAMBI, Grammar of the Body. And it's led by a linguist, Professor Wendy Sandler of the University of Haifa, who specializes in sign language. She did some pioneering work with Bedouin tribes in the Israeli desert who were inventing their own sign language, unaware of the fact that sign language existed somewhere. So she studies three generations and how the language develops. And the argument at the basis of the entire GRAMBI project is that in sign language everywhere, and there are different sign languages, you know, just as we have different languages, in sign language, research has focused so far on signs, that is, on the work of the hands, and too little on facial expression and body language. And she hypothesizes that it's the compositionality. It's the sign of the hand with the expression of the face and the rest of the body, although signing is usually performed in front, chest level. There are exceptions, but this is an interdisciplinary project with psychologists, linguists, ethologists, studying communication of chimpanzees with facial gestures and body language. A lot of people of different disciplines are involved, and I was called in almost on the last moment to write the proposal of the theater group because I thought it could be valuable to do what is called today practice-based research. It has an academic name, practice-based research. I think what we do is we play, but it's good to have a good title. The inspiration for the theater part of GRAMBI is the work of some avant-garde directors of the 1920s, 60s, and 70s who explored some codified movement theater in other cultures, not Western cultures. So the dominant ones that I'm going to refer to are Kudiyattam and Kathakali, which are both from Kerala, South India, and are codified forms of theater. And it is important to know that nowadays people in Kerala and elsewhere do not know the code. So they do not understand what the movements mean unless the movements are very mimetic. My position with the actors, and we chose the actors after three workshops, auditioning and screening, chose 10. We work now with 9. One of them just gave birth, or she's on a leave, but she'll come back. It's a very heterogeneous group of 9 people. We have one Palestinian woman, one Ethiopian Jew, one from the Ukraine, one from Russia. So there's two from North Africa. So there are different cultural backgrounds. But as I discovered, it is also a matter of deaf culture, capital deaf, that's how it is known today, that there are differences between people who were born deaf, people who became deaf as children. If you were the only child in the family who is deaf, or a child of, you know, the real aristocracy of deaf culture is if you're part of a big tribe of deaf people, which is, you know, there are fewer cases as we progress with, you know, what we can do with deafness. But deaf culture, for example, is very suspicious of the implants of all the interventions that, because they claim by now that it is a culture, not a handicap, and they experience the world differently, and this associates, of course, Aaron, with what you were talking about last night, and that if we need to communicate with them, we need to learn sign language. My personal privilege was that I said I don't want to learn sign language at least for a year, because I want to be charmed and to wonder about what you do and use that feeling that I have as a responder to what you do. And what is it? It is the fact that everyone, I think, who watches two deaf people communicate is charmed by the theatricality, by the mimetic aspects. When they do it fast, we can't really appreciate it. But when you say slow down, or when you say explain, and you just see that this is love in so many languages, you know, this is stupid. Really, how stupid. We did one exercise on how stupid, exaggerate. And, you know, so when you slow down, when you exaggerate rhythms and size and placement of the gesture, then you see the beauty of the thing. So we began to work. We meet once a week for 4 hours. Now we meet twice a week because we're preparing a show for the end of January. You're all welcome. It's going to be in Jaffa, end of January. And we have certain routines. So these are the building blocks. One thing is that we do a 50-minute warm-up. I'm going to show you two segments, and the warm-ups are based on several things, a few that I worked with last night in the workshop. And one is repetitious movement, a movement that repeats itself and develops. Now, just to tell you that I chose a few clips that are imperfect to show you where there are disturbances or when things flow nicely, but they're not obeying the rules or something like that. So these are two very short samples of warm-up. Can you turn the lights above us? Thank you. Yes. Okay. Okay, so here you see that the repetitious movement is actually a series of signs that the leader of the group, everybody imitates the leader uses signs. Now we'll watch another clip where it's not necessarily signs, it may be at moments. And we take the moment of changing leadership. She was leading Allah with a hijab, and now Addis is taking the lead. Okay, I think that's enough. Okay, hold it. Pause. Okay. Now I'm going to show you how Addis takes the same structure, and that is what we call a repetitious movement meeting a sign. So his assignment, and each had them individually, and then we make them meet, is to work with his body until he finally hits a sign, he realizes it, works with it, and then he continues to whatever is more abstract until he reaches the sign again. He still hasn't signed. He's still playing. And that is the sign for drugs. And you can follow up when you have this key that it's drugs, what he's doing afterwards. Let's stop here because we're running out. Another thing that we use as a building block is gestures. This is the time to say that we're not exploring freely. We have an objective. Our objective is pretty ambitious, I think, and I hope, you know, with time we'll get to it, is to create theater that is based on sign language and can be experienced by both hearing and deaf people at the same time. Differently, that's pretty obvious, but at the same time. As an experience. So we're trying to get very little interpretation, although we work in the studio with an interpreter. This is Tammy, our interpreter. And there's a lot of understanding through gesture that we have during the work. But we took gestures as another building block to facilitate a communal understanding because both deaf and hearing people use gestures. We divided it through the body, and then we realized that there's never a real division. When you do a foot gesture, you always use your face and the rest of your body. When you say, you need to add the mask of the, or I don't know, or things like that. So we'll just see very short examples of hand gesture. They each had to develop 3 hand gestures, and they teach everybody the hand gestures. And these will be incorporated into the work on physical theater and sign language. Okay? And the next one? The next one is a hand gesture, a head gesture. That's the next one. And it's just very short. That's it. So you see that the gesture becomes fuller and more expressive and more precise when she says first this, and then I had a lecture from one of the actors that this may mean anything. Come, I want to talk with you privately. Let's have sex, or let's drink in the Russian culture in Israel, or things like that. But as she adds eyebrows, you know, all kind of details, it becomes more and more specific. Okay. Now we're going to try and show another thing that we do that combines the repetitious movement, the divisions that we do in order to understand how each part of the body relates to this, by an exercise in which we separate, like we did last night, we separated sound and movement. One person gave sound and another did the movement. Here, sound is irrelevant because they're all deaf except for one. One is an interpreter, a very well-known interpreter in the community, and she is the only person, but she's so deaf culturally that I wanted just to mention that I was planning on showing an image first of a Japanese god called Ebisu, but unfortunately, it doesn't allow me to show it, so I'll have it on my laptop screen once we leave the room and you can walk into it. Why? This is important. It's also associated in my mind with Aaron's talk last night. Because when we started devising a show, and it's devised entirely from the improvisation, I just, as a director, I edit, I change, I make little additional suggestions. I said, what would you like to work on in addition to the exercise we already went through? And they said, we would like to work on deafness, but definitely not in a way that would make our audience pity us, because they've seen too much of that. So I said, let's see if we can do just the opposite, the extreme opposite. Is there a deaf hero in any culture? Is there? And lo and behold, I found a deaf god in Japanese culture. So I was thinking this morning, Ebisu is the deaf god. Wouldn't it be great if the autistics would find an autistic god? And, you know, we all. So Ebisu is one of the seven gods of fortune. And he was born deaf and boneless, but he managed to grow bones, but not to recover his hearing. So when the festival of the seven gods of fortune is celebrated, and the figures of the gods are paraded on the street, Ebisu stays in the shrine because he doesn't hear the bells tolling, and therefore he's available for worship and help and so on, so on, so on. So he deserves his own festival, just Ebisu, the deaf god. And in Kyoto, if you come to Kyoto, look for the Ebisu shrine, because you have to knock real hard, and the Shinto believers clap their hands, so they say it's okay to repeat it. And so we have our god, and unanimously decided that this is the name of our group, Ebisu. It's the name of a beer. Very, very, okay. So we'll watch now hand, face, leg with a difficulty. Thank you. He's doing leg, face, and hand. Okay, we can stop here. I think you can see the difficulty that the leg is really... with another couple, we tried, because with Allah, she warned us that she's a Muslim. She joined a little later, so no touching and this, that. After 2 weeks, she was touching and hugging everybody. So, but sitting on Ghulam, who is the leg, would be a little too much, at that point at least. So we tried with another trio, that helps the leg very much. We still need to figure out the way. The next one is taking us to a whole different zone, and that is where we don't work abstractly on moments of creating little situations or stories, but I give them a situation. And we were working then on the other senses, on taste and smelling, and later we worked on sounds in sign language, which was created, was very provocative. They refused to do it at first, and what came out was fantastic. So this is a restaurant. They did it in groups. They had 5 minutes to prepare. So after 5 minutes, we walked into the room and there. And this is one group. And the restaurant is supposed to be the waiter explaining what they have on the menu. And the couple will have, eventually we won't watch that, get their order and they get their food. And one of them is very happy and explains why he's so happy with the food. And the other is very unhappy and explains why. And here one is vegetarian. The waitress, I will just tell you, she uses gestures and sign language combined as one unit. Okay, restaurant. Great chef. And what do we have? You saw that? She's now signing potato. So next to the piece of cow that is still bleeding, now she's frying the potatoes or telling them about frying potatoes. And the last thing you'll see is again a sign, and it's a sign for snails, and you'll see that they are imported. Okay, this is the sign for snail. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll jump immediately to the last one, right? And that's the meal has been served, and he's having the escargot. Okay. Do I have another minute? Or?
Not really, but not really. It's
okay,
urgent.
So I'll stop here. All right. Thank you.
All right, so comments and questions for the two talks that we heard. And then maybe if you all come up again.
Yeah, come on in.